Soccer FM is written and produced by Stephen Mill and Ray Bradshaw and is in association with pieandbovril.com.
Hello everyone and welcome to Soccer FM, Scotland's funniest football podcast with me, Stephen Mill, and you, Ray Bradshaw.
Hello.
Coming up on this week's show, we chat to the Scotland boss, Stevie Clark. Yes, actually, the real Scotland boss has spoken to us, and we'll also look back on the weekend in the SPFL. We'll chat about Birmingham and look ahead to the week coming in Scottish football. It's Monday the 27th of January. We're not live on Facebook.
No.
As ever, you can contact us on Twitter, at ScottSoccerFM. Thank you for all your comments on last week's show. We've also got our own forum at pieandbovril.com. Just click on the Soccer FM tab and leave your comments there. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, listen on Buzzsprout, SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and your Amazon Alexa device as well. Ray Bradshaw, how are you? You all right?
I'm good, how are you?
How was Birmingham?
Yeah, it was all right. I saw a guy shooting up.
Right, okay.
That must have been outside my hotel.
Right, was this you? Did the gigs go that badly?
No, actually the Thursday was pretty brutal, actually. And then before I went on stage, the compere went, so I was opening, he went, "You're not going to enjoy this." Like before the gig started, and he does this thing where he just asks the audience loads of questions, so he doesn't do any material,
right?
And then you come on to this kind of like stone cold audience,
good,
and it's a bit tough. And then in the second section, all the questions he's asked, he's made an internet PowerPoint thing all about them, so they fucking love that,
right?
So from then on, the gig's good, but the start is like you're just taking a bullet.
Was it just like I've always wondered, like, does your comedy always is fairly, you're not a Scottish Pacific.
No, it's fine, it travels quite easily.
Yeah.
But what happens is you end up, so I did about 25 minutes worth of material in 20 minutes.
Right.
See, because you'll get like the, and then just, there's no rolling. Whereas, like, sometimes, see, when I was supporting Frankie,
yeah,
you would do maybe 14 minutes of material, but because there's like 1,800 people laughing, and that kills a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Whereas with when there's no one there. But are you doing a gig? What's it? I've been hearing this.
I might be doing a stand-up gig. It's through Clyde One. It's for Cash for Kids, so you can't.
You've done one before, haven't you?
Yeah, I did one about 5 years ago at the Stand in Edinburgh.
Did you black up?
No, I didn't black up for that one. No, I didn't black up. I haven't done that.
It's a great rumour, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a great rumour, and it's one that...
I said that in the Clyde One office last week and someone believed it.
It's one that is going to be edited out of this podcast. But no, it's for charity.
So how long are you doing?
I don't know. It'll be 5 minutes. It won't be that long.
I'm fascinated by it. What did you talk about last time you did a gig?
A dog dying. And there was a vet in the front row.
And two nuns in a bath.
Yeah, a dog dying.
Your dog?
No, just a guy called John, who had two dogs, and his nickname was John Two Dogs. And
you've told me about this before, actually.
This is a true story, and
You should do 5 minutes on that weird computing teacher you had.
Mr. Avery.
Yeah.
I've had so many requests for Mr. Avery
for the
stories.
Voice.
I can't remember what. I told the Peter Chalmers story.
Yeah, you did, yeah.
Which is obviously went down very well.
Yeah.
And just how he was an absolutely atrocious teacher. Did I tell you the story about the guy who put his hand up and said, "Mr. Avery, if you were attacked by 100 naked men, do you think you could beat them all off?" And his response was, "I'll give it a good guy." So obviously you're fucking howling. 16 years old. I'll give it a good try. I don't know if I can beat them all off.
You know how I go to Australia for a bit?
Yeah.
Guest host, Mr. Avery.
He's dead.
Is he?
Yeah.
100% dead?
I think so, yeah.
What about Peter Chalmers?
Peter Chalmers is alive and well.
Yeah, on.
Alive and well. I don't know what Peter Chalmers does.
Apprenticeship.
Aye, but that was about 10 years ago. In fact, more than 10 years ago. It was about 14 years ago.
What did he leave school at? Fourth year or fifth year?
Fifth year.
Yeah, he might have passed the apprenticeship by now then.
Yeah, I think he will have. I'm not friends with him on Facebook or anything, but
I'll try to see if I can add him.
Unless I'm digging up Mr. Avery, I don't think that he's going to be taking part in this podcast either. But I do have a few guests.
Digging
lined up
Mr. Avery sounds like a pure Disney film, doesn't
it? That's the name of the podcast. Digging up Mr. Avery.
Can't be.
You can't defame the dead, remember that.
Is it Peter Chalmers? There's a Peter Chalmers that our mutual friends are Nigel Kwasi, Jose Katongo, and Prince Boabin.
Why are you friends with all these people? I know.
Because I used to try and get them for the podcast.
Yeah, that is true. Let me look for Peter Chalmers.
Does he work at Burton's Biscuits?
I don't. I've got, right, I found him. Do you want to see his photo? You can describe it.
What? Right, so he's kind of like on a climbing wall, but
It looks like a drain. I've got 12 mutual friends. I can't really see any other photos. Yeah, he looks to have.
Nah, I've found him, no mutual friends.
Been living quite a decent life, as far as I'm aware.
And he loves water. All his pictures in your water.
Yeah, he loves the water, Peter Chalmers. So there you are. That's Peter Chalmers. He's still alive and well. Mr. Avery,
you'll
dead.
Hear him
unfortunately, dead. So there we are.
How was your week? What did you go to?
It was all right. Yeah, it was. We chatted to the Scotland manager, which was quite cool.
It was really weird, wasn't it?
It was really strange.
Should we play it and then we'll chat about it after?
Yeah. Okay. We'll start with that. So here's our chat, Stephen Mill and Ray Bradshaw, meeting the Scotland manager, Stevie Clark.
Steve, 2 months. Almost to the day until the playoffs. How are the nerves? How are you feeling ahead of it? Is there any nerves?
No nerves at the moment. Too far away. A long break between the November game and the March game. Lots of matches to watch. Lots of videos to watch.
How many games of football do you watch a week, do you think?
Live. Well, depends how the fixtures fall. Really, you know. Sometimes you can get a Friday night, a Saturday, a Sunday. So you get three on the weekend. Obviously, you can watch more if you schedule it around your television viewing.
Yeah. So
you can get to watch more, maybe watch a live game in the morning and then get an afternoon or an evening game. Over the course of a weekend, probably looking at 5-6 matches. It's a strange one because as a club manager, you're watching the whole game, you're watching the tactics, the movements, whereas as an international manager, you're a little bit more focused just on your boy, your player.
So like this player cam kind of thing?
Yeah, you tend the game's going on over there and you're watching a defender, for example, you're seeing how he's picking up, is he organising behind, and the game's going on that way and you're actually looking away from the game.
How do you choose? So say, for example, you want to watch Liam Cooper, for example. How would you choose which game of his to watch? Would you look at the opposition, see who's playing against a particular player, or is it just kind of, oh, I can be down and I can go to that game?
A little bit of both. I went to watch Liam, funny enough, a couple of weeks ago, the Sheffield Wednesday at home, which is a good game to watch because Sheffield Wednesday got a few Scottish boys.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Liam Palmer was injured, Stephen Fletcher was injured, little Barry Bannon played, did well. Sheffield,
you make him sound like a nursery rhyme character, little Barry Bannon.
he won't thank me for saying that. Now, Barry's great. I bumped into him, I actually stayed overnight because on the Friday night I was at Sheffield United. So I stayed over.
Was that the one they scored?
West Ham.
Yeah.
Played West Ham. Good to watch that one. Stayed up, went to that game and bumped into Barry in the hotel. Enthusiastic as ever, Barry. Still playing away, still doing great. It's just a shame that I've got so many talented midfield players. So on the back of that, so that was a good game to watch Liam Cooper in, was against good opposition.
Yeah. And day to day, because obviously you said you, as a club manager, previously coach and all this kind of stuff, do you find you've got a lot more free time? Like, are you watching daytime telly, or are you going out and...
To watch daytime?
Yeah.
I've never really watched daytime telly. Obviously, when you're club manager, you get sacked sometimes. I don't know if you've noticed.
Yeah.
you tend to spend about a year. I think the average time is sort of 12, 13, 14 months out of the game. So in that year, you've got to find something to occupy yourself.
What were the particular favourites? Was it Holmes Under the Hammer, or was it...
I had a little spell where I watched Holmes Under the Hammer. And then you get to the point where you start to think, well, that's ridiculous. Yeah. I've done up a few houses myself.
Yeah.
You buy a house and you spend a little bit. And you look at their houses, it's a complete shell, it's an absolute mess. And £5,000 later,
yeah,
the whole thing's been refurbished top to bottom and it looks fantastic.
And it's always done on time.
And there's an extra £50,000 on the price.
Yeah.
Come on, doesn't work like that. Do up your house and you think... 5,000, I'm not sure. Times 10, maybe.
Yeah.
So I think it's a bit of a myth, that programme.
Yeah. To get back to football, just a few seconds, you mentioned Barry Bannon and all the sort of plethora of football, of midfielders we have. John McGinn is obviously touch and go for the game in a couple of months' time with his injury. Scott McTominay, I think he's back in training, am I right in saying, at Manchester United?
Yes.
So he's still going to be...
He's on the mend.
He's on the mend.
They're all on the mend. It's just whether they're on the mend quick enough.
We were actually talking before you came in about Stuart Armstrong scored again for Southampton, playing really well.
Yeah.
You know, they were bottom of the league, getting beat 9-0 and all
the
of a sudden.
The best thing that happened to Stuart this year was Southampton got beat 9-0. And then after that, the manager sort of looked at the team that he was picking and said, OK, I'm going to leave you a lot out and I'm going to put the ones that haven't been playing regular in, which was obviously a great chance for Stuart. He's grabbed it with both hands. I watched him at the weekend. I was in Southampton, I watched them. I don't think Southampton will be too kind. That's twice I've watched them this year and they've lost both games. So I might not get another invite back to St Mary's. But Stuart did well. And it's good to see him in the team. And I know that he's desperate to be involved in the Scotland setup. Yeah. So
you get
the fact that he's in the team now makes it easier for me to pick him, because the previous squad actually left him out initially.
And then called him in. Yeah.
And he wasn't happy when I left him out. So
yeah, those are difficult conversations you have to have.
Very difficult. The one with Stuart was particularly difficult, because I know how much it means to him to be involved with the national team, and it was a difficult conversation, but he reacted the right way, which is all you can ask for as a manager.
And there's a few guys like that who seem really committed. You've got Johnny Russell travelling over a lot and all that kind of stuff. One of the things I was going to ask you was, obviously, is your game, big game, ticket sales are going. How are you excited to lead a Scotland team out at essentially a busy Hampden? Because the last couple of games, do you think that affects the players at all, or is it kind of irrelevant?
No, I think it affects them. I think they would much rather walk out to a full packed stadium, full voice ready to support them, not to take anything away from the crowd that do come. They only get 20,000 people there. They're there to support them. They're there to try and help the players. It's something that's really important. But I've said consistently since these playoffs have been on the horizon that if we need the Tartan Army there in full voice, full stadium, they'll be there, because that's historically that's what's happened with Scotland. That's what they do. You know, I've stood out there on the terraces with close on 100,000 people. You get those moments, you get the crowd, when the crowd pick up and sense the momentum and the team going forward, and that crowd, that atmosphere can give you that little extra push.
Would you ever wear a kilt?
I've worn a kilt once. That was when I was best.
In your whole life?
When I was best man at my brother's wedding, and when he stipulated that it had to be kilts. And
if we do qualify, will you be looking at the kilt?
Well, going on my previous track record, I didn't need to say no.
That's a fair point.
I need to say no.
It's obviously a difficult. You know, we've played Israel before.
It's a difficult question whether I've got to wear a kilt or not.
No.
But bear in mind, we can't see what you're wearing under the table right now.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
You could be
wearing anything. But the Israel games, we know about them because we've played them fairly recently. We've beaten them here at Hampden. It was a bit of a, you know, a to and fro night. I think I finished 3-2, and then obviously they beat us across there. In Israel, the focus has to be on that one, but you'll have to be doing your homework on the two teams that we could potentially be playing as well, and it's two really strong sides in Norway and Serbia.
Yeah, there is. No, for us, or for me and my coaching staff, or me and the analysts, is to make sure that all three games are prepared properly, so the players need to concentrate on the first one, because we all need to concentrate on the first one. We need to make sure we go through the first one to get to the second one, but when we get, hopefully we get through the first game, the second game, everything will be prepared, whether it's Norway or Serbia, the video work, everything, the analysis. In my mind, I'll be sure the tactics that we're going to play and how we're going to approach the second game as opposed to the first game.
You have a rough idea of what your team's going to be sitting here just now?
Yeah, I think so. I think if you look at the last two games, I was pleased with the performance in the last two games. People look at it and say, Cyprus away. You know, I bumped into Mick McCarthy, and the first thing Mick said to me was, what a great result that was in Cyprus. Now, that's another international manager who understands going away to Cyprus, it's a difficult place to go and get a result. We went there and we did that. And then we came here and we conceded the first goal against Kazakhstan. And I've got
what
to
a
say,
goal as well.
Great goal, fantastic strike, could have been defended much better. And we did touch on that a little bit at half-time. But watching the game back, and I know we got criticised a little bit for our first-half performance, we actually played really well in the first half. We moved the ball well, we moved the opposition well. And when the game came in our favour in the second half, because of the work we'd done in the first half, we ended up running out comfortable winners of that game. So that's progress. Some people don't want to give you credit for little bits of progress against teams that they see as, we should beat them easy. That's not the case anymore. Scotland are a team that are seeded third, so we have to make sure that we're good enough to beat the teams below us. We have to make sure that we play to our seeding. That's what we did in the group. And what we have to learn now is, from the Russian games, in both the games against Russia, who were the seed two, the team above us, there were moments in those games where we were in the game. Here at Hampden, we were in front.
Definitely, yeah.
And we allowed the game to drift away from us. We have to learn from that. And the game over in Russia for an hour, we were good in the game. I thought we were good in the game. Actually, at the start of the second half, we were better than them. Then we conceded, and for some reason, we collapsed. We have to learn from that, and we have to be better. So we have to consolidate. Yeah, we're the third seed. We have to chip away at the teams above us and make sure we become the second seeded team. But it's not going to happen overnight. It's a process.
Yeah.
And like I said before, maybe for me, is 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, training camps before we start to chip into that seeding above us. That's what we have to do.
And I was reading about you when you became West Brom manager, and there was an interview, and you said you just kind of gave up on your hobbies. Do you have any hobbies, or is just football your life? Because it said before you used to go fishing and play golf. Is that
I fly fish for trout, so the season's only between March and September. It's a little bit cold in October, so I don't like fishing when I'm cold.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think you can fish all year round.
I can hit a golf ball reasonably well, much to the disappointment of my friend who's got to practice every day and keep his handicap. I can walk up after 6 weeks off playing golf, put it down and hit it straight down the middle.
And how often are you doing that?
That drives them daft. Not very. I mean, I find golf quite time. I enjoy nine holes of golf. I don't have the mental capacity for 18 holes of golf. It drives you daft golf.
I got very excited when I was doing some research on you, but it turned out it wasn't you. Did you know that the British Rubik's Cube champion is also a Scottish person called Steve Clark?
I didn't know.
He can do it.
It's not me.
He can do the Rubik's Cube in 53 seconds. Do you think you'd get anywhere close to that?
53 days, maybe.
Don't worry, we're not about to pull out. We don't have one on us.
I wouldn't look very good on a podcast.
No, that is very true.
But the Rubik's Cube was something I never really got into. I tried it once, so I think I managed to get one side.
Yeah,
I
hate it.
You take off the stickers.
But it would take me a long time. I think eventually I would get there.
The other thing I wanted to ask you is, a young man in London when you moved down to Chelsea, did you ever get mistaken for Steve Clark from Def Leppard?
Nah, I didn't know there was a Steve Clark.
No one has my name really. So I'm always intrigued that people have
there's
the same
no
name.
Ray Bradshaw's.
There's no Ray Bradshaws anywhere.
There's no Stephen Mills.
I thought you could have been pretend you were in a band and get into a nightclub or something.
You're saying I've got a common name?
Yeah. That's two quite common names, yeah.
In terms of your playing career, you know, you've said before that you didn't get as many caps for Scotland as what you would have liked. Is this part of way of making up for that, I guess, and being a successful manager for Scotland, hopefully that will make up for what you know.
No, nothing will make up for not getting more caps than I actually got. With the career I had, the ability I had, the level I played at, the consistency I showed, I think my career deserved more than six caps. Obviously, the managers at the time, Andy Roxburgh picked me quite. I was on a lot of squads with Andy. Mm-hmm. Craig didn't pick me so much.
Why do you think that was?
Yeah, I don't know. Obviously, the manager at the time thought they had a better right back, and I accept that decision.
Yeah,
that's what happens in football. It's a game of opinion, and you either get picked or you don't get picked. But I just felt, if you're asking me to be honest about it, that the career I had, the level of performance week in week out, I certainly deserve more than six caps. I'm not saying I deserved 106, but I deserved a few more.
You obviously had a long association with Chelsea. It's a team that's obviously very close to your heart. Are you back down at Chelsea very often? Obviously, you know.
I haven't been this season because they've got no Scottish players. Well,
they've got the young Billy,
but Billy doesn't play too much in the first team, so it's very difficult to justify going along. I went to a couple of games at the end of last season just with a friend, more as a social than a business.
How far away do you think Billy Gilmour is? Just finally, I know we're running out of time here.
I think the young ones, and I've said this again consistently since I got the job, the young ones, you have to give them the time and the process to work through, play their 15, 16, 17 games at under 21 level, find a level for someone like Billy Gilmour as an example, not specifically.
Mikey Johnson as well as another one.
The younger ones, they have to get more game time, they have to play at a consistent level. Billy, if he's not going to play regularly at Chelsea, needs to start to think about looking to get out. I know Chelsea as a club handle the young players very, very well. And at the right time, they'll put Billy out to get match experience, senior match experience. And then it becomes a process. I think there's always a temptation, because he's a good young one, throw them in.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes you throw them in and you can lose them. So it's important to manage the younger ones better. And we've got one or two decent ones coming through.
And finally, are you tempted to throw me and Stephen in for a cap at any point?
Yeah, I wouldn't think so. You might need a cap for your head. You've got the same hairstyle as me.
Yeah, right. I'll pretend I'm George Hartson and we'll find it. We'll be okay.
We need to wrap it up because Holmes of the Hammer's coming on soon. So, thanks very much, Steve. Cheers.
Brilliant.
Thanks very much, guys. Thank you.
So that was our chat with Stevie Clark.
It was a lot more fun than I thought it would be.
Yeah, because he's like, he's not the most excitable character in the world.
That was the third time I'd met him. Mm-hmm. And bear in mind, one time I gigged him, and that was the most I've seen him smile.
Yeah.
So it says a lot, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. He was probably at that gig in Birmingham.
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
He was great.
Mm-hmm.
And he seemed to relatively like us.
I think so. The fact that we managed to chat about Homes Under the Hammer.
The fact that he got so he like moved out his seat and he was like, I'll tell you what, I've flipped a few houses.
So if you're needing your bathroom done or anything like that.
I mean, he's got the time.
He does, yeah, exactly. So yeah, that was our chat with Steve.
No time for Rubik's Cubes, does he?
Doesn't like Rubik's Cubes. Although he did go back to the Rubik's Cubes. Like after I thought we'd moved on from the Rubik's Cube, but he went back to just to clarify that he didn't really get into it.
And that was the first time we've ever done something where there was someone sitting in a room with a countdown timer to say this is how much time. I mean, we went over.
Yeah, you'll notice the bit at the end where I'm like, well, I know we're running out of time when he had about 15 seconds left on the counter like that. Yeah, so, but it was quite good how you answered, you asked him, sorry, the stupid questions.
Yes.
And I asked him the football questions. So that's,
he probably thought I'd won a competition to be there or something like that.
I think so, yeah. So, yeah, I think we may get more work with SFA. I think that's.
That'd be nice.
That'd be nice.
Do you think I'll get a game at right back?
There's every chance.
He was quite dismissive when I asked him if I could play for Scotland.
Do you know, I didn't actually tell you this at the time, but when you asked him that, he looked at me and then looked down and looked at the size of me and went, nah, I don't think so. Like he actually sized me up. So
you got profiled.
I did get profiled, so never mind. So I nearly got as many Scotland caps as Steve Clark got.
I didn't like that question. By the way,
didn't like that question at all.
I think I would say yes, I did deserve more. And I was going to ask him if he hated Stuart McKimmy, but it was too tense
because I thought that he might have hated Craig Brown as well, because he was the one who didn't get
so are
caps.
You saying Tom Boyd shite? Is that what you're saying, Steve? Also, we didn't swear. We're on good behaviour.
We were, yes.
The three people we've not sworn in front of now. Not Tom Boyd.
Not Tom Boyd, definitely not.
He's kidding me.
Yeah.
Archie McPherson, Derek Ray, Steve Clark.
Yep.
The trio.
The royal family.
Derek Ray, we never did. Archie McPherson, once we finished, dropped the C-bomb straight away. So we're like, we definitely could have.
Yeah.
And Steve Clark.
And Archie McPherson doesn't speak like that. I couldn't believe he's spoken like a sort of Jamaican accent off air. It was just the most bizarre thing.
Like, why do you possess Trevor McDonald when you're off air?
that was our chat there. So at Scott Soccer FM, if you want to leave any comments, by the way. And
and the tickets are flying out the door for the game as well. I've got mine. Have you got yours?
I've got mine, yes. So I think
we're both in the North Stand, aren't we?
They're looking pretty much for a sellout, so it's not far away from us. So if you are fancying going and you're Swithern, I'd probably get tickets now, because they're going to be, it'll be the rubbish ones that are left, but
I'm 100% getting Stephen.
Yeah, I think he'll get
Stephen. I'm flying to Cardiff first thing the next morning, which is going to be well fun.
Why are you going to Cardiff?
John Harrison. I'm doing media double.
And Liam Boyce.
Oh yeah,
we'll get to Liam Boyce in just a wee second. Do you want to chat about the football the weekend?
Yeah, let's do it. Okay. Do you see the Hearts Rangers game yesterday?
Yes, I did see the Hearts Rangers game yesterday.
It's quite funny, isn't it?
It was. Rangers were absolutely gash.
They were pish midweek as well.
Yeah.
And then they just kind of got away with it. Whereas they're playing Kelly, who lose all the time. But they were really, really poor. John Flanagan,
He wasn't the Rangers fans' favourite after that performance yesterday, was
hooked
he?
Hooked to half time.
Yeah.
For Matt Polster.
He was on a booking, to be fair.
Yeah, but.
And Ryan Jack picked up an injury, I think I'm right in saying. And a booking.
Absolutely halved. who was it? The young guy Henderson.
Yeah.
He fucking nailed him.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, so he was off at half time as well. But Ryan Kent gave Rangers the lead just a couple of minutes into the second half. But back came, it was a really nice finish for Stephen Naismith, actually.
Yeah.
He was sort of running onto it and sort of fell into it.
Hooked, but it was funny how little he tried to celebrate.
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
And then obviously you scored the winner with 7 minutes to go.
I genuinely glanced at Twitter and thought someone was talking about me.
Do you know that Liam Boyce is 28 years old?
Yeah. Well, do you know that I've looked like this since I was 8?
Yeah.
So what happens.
Must be a balding ginger thing. Yeah.
Thing was, I messaged my football team's WhatsApp. I was like, "Mon the receding gingers," but tweeted it as "Mon the receding fingers," which is creepy as anything.
Receding
man.
Fingers.
Yeah, that was your nickname at school, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Mr. Chalmers.
Yeah. Mr. Avery's receding fingers. Right, it finished 2-1 to Hearts at Tynecastle yesterday. Great win for Hearts as well.
Yeah. First one under Stendhal. And it just shows, like, I tweeted from my account, I really hope, but it didn't happen, John Daly and Glenn Whelan and Christoph Berra we're going to maybe say, oh, maybe Stendhal is doing a good job after all.
Yeah, but I can sort of understand it from their point of view, because obviously they're going to be raging if they're getting pumped out.
Do you know Glenn Whelan refused to do media interviews when he was at Hearts, and then he got released and ran to the papers to moan about Stendhal?
That doesn't fit.
The guy's a fud.
So Hearts closed the gap at the bottom on Hamilton, who were in probably, well, definitely the highest scoring game of the weekend. It was Hamilton 2, Livingston 4. Sean Want gave Accies the lead after just 30 minutes, but Craig Sybald came roaring back for Livy.
Nice volley.
A very nice volley, actually. Just 2 minutes later, Aaron Taylor Sinclair, former Partick Thistle player.
Yeah, have I told you my story about him?
Go for it.
When I played in the testimonial, I was meant to come on at left back, and he didn't have a club at the time. And he was meant to move to right back, and I jogged on, and he went, "Nah, mate, I'm in the shop window. You can play right back."
So in the shop window, to be fair, testimonial.
He just scored in the Premiership.
All right.
So
yeah,
to be fair, he was right.
That is
have
true.
You seen his goal?
Yeah,
he scored a header from a millimeter away. And looks absolutely ecstatic about it.
They all count. So he gave Livy a 2-1 lead. Then Hamilton equalised in the second half. Sam Woods in 57 minutes
on his
before
debut.
Stevie Lawless and Scott Pittman gave all 3 points to Livingston.
I think Stevie Lawless could be in the running for Player of the Year.
Livingston are now fifth in the table. I know, he's having a decent season.
10, 11 goals, and he's a big integral part of that team.
He's clearly doing well for Livingston. I don't think he's in the running for...
But who are the standouts, though? You got Morelos, you got Edward.
Yep.
But there's four.
Yeah. But I'm willing to bet quite a lot of money that Stevie Lawless will not be on the shortlist.
No, I'd probably agree, but I think he could be in the running.
Okay.
Give me two others.
Let me have a wee think. I'll get back to you on that one. I'll get back to you on that one. I'll have a wee think. And don't worry, just by the end of the show, I'll get back to you.
You're probably going to say John McGinn or something, yeah, aren't you?
No.
Stevie Crawford. Craig Brewster.
Paul McGinn.
Paul McGinn. Moving to Hibs is weird as fuck, isn't it?
Yeah, is that going through?
No, it's about to, I think.
Yeah, so Hibs drew with Motherwell on Saturday. Five bookings for Hibs on Saturday.
Nice,
well,
a wee bit of feistiness.
A wee bit of feistiness.
Maybe that's why they're signing Paul McGinn.
Yeah, so 0-0 between Motherwell and Hibs. And Aberdeen couldn't close the gap, though, because they had an equally shocking game yesterday.
It was a terrible
game of football.
I used my own data to watch that on the train, and I was like, I'm grudging this so much.
Decent point for St Mirren, clean sheet as well, but obviously Aberdeen fans are not happy at all with McInnes.
No, you could hear it. McInnes out and all this kind of stuff. And
do you think that's a bit harsh?
There's a couple of Aberdeen fans that play for my football team, and he was like, nah, I've been saying this for 2 years. It's just the style of football they play. It's just not enjoyable.
Aberdeen fans are absolute fannies of Dan Farrell.
Bear in mind, he did drive from Glasgow to there when they lost 5-0. Who was it against? Celtic?
Yeah.
And they were 4-0 at half time. He was already in the chippy by full time.
Yeah, but they've consistently finished top three
for the
last 6 years.
You've got to remember,
or something.
Fans like who support teams like us will never understand it.
Yeah.
Ever.
How pish were they under Mark McGee? Pish.
Yeah.
Beyond belief.
Like, and
nearly getting relegated.
Scovdale and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Scovdale had one good season, and then they should have been relegated,
yeah,
but they didn't because
the stadium,
ground. But yet they love Ebbe Scovdale because they're like, oh, what a laugh it was. Whereas I can absolutely guarantee you, if they got somebody in who played open attractive football and they finished 11th, they'd be fuming.
Yeah.
They'd be absolutely raging.
Matty Kennedy on his debut.
Matty Kennedy.
Two guy Kirby Logan.
Yeah. So Matty Kennedy did make the move. Didn't make much of a difference.
No.
But St Johnstone, on the other hand, did win 2-1. So
yeah,
after Tommy Wright going off his nut on Thursday or Friday in his press conference saying that.
It's really awkward, isn't it?
Yeah, he's not happy at all. But I guess if you're Tommy Wright, you're a wee bit like, well, what are you going to do, sack me?
Yeah, also, if you're Tommy Wright, I don't think you've been happy in years.
No,
like,
exactly.
He just looks like quite an angry man, doesn't he?
Ali McCann, it gave St
Johnstone.
He was
a keeper, wasn't he?
He was a keeper.
Just a moany bastard.
Chris Burke equalised from the penalty spot. But
not a penalty.
Not a penalty. It was outside the box. And then David Wotherspoon gave St Johnstone all 3 points, which is 7 minutes to go. Callum Hendry got booked in that game as well. But my flatmate was actually at the hospitality at St Johnstone. Bizarrely
Kettle.
Enough, yep.
Why?
Because he got like a last minute invite, and it was they do like a premium hospitality, so it was 5 courses and a free bar all day.
Fuck. Did he drive her?
No, he got the train up, and apparently he was absolutely gassed by about 2:30 or something. But he said it was amazing. He said like the food and everything, and they said that the St Johnstone hospitality is often voted in the top 5 for the whole of the UK,
really?
Like above like Premier League teams. That's how good it is.
I can't imagine that. I hate McDermott Park. It's one of my least favourite stadiums in the world.
Yeah, but it's apparently it does really well, the hospitality. So yeah, if you're up there, then try the hospitality. I think it was like 140 quid.
That's steep though, isn't it?
It is steep, but if it's like a one off
to watch St Johnson.
Yeah, but you're not there for the football.
Nah,
you're there to get steaming.
You'd have to drink a lot of booze to justify that though, wouldn't you?
And a 5-course meal.
Yeah, but it depends. Like, one of those courses could be a sorbet.
Yeah, one of them was a soup, obviously. Yeah. So I just won 5 courses of soup.
I was at Morrison's in Partick, uh-huh. And did you see my tweet? A guy got 12 tins of soup and a Benelin, and that was all it was. And I was like, I was at the checkout.
And you didn't say hello to me.
I was trying to take a picture, but the till was in the way, and he was looking at And I was like, Hayley, take a picture. And she was like, I'm not taking a picture of a random man, like, because of his soup.
Yeah.
And so was Do you like Benelin?
Hey, I've been known to have it.
Would you have it as a mixer?
Have I told you the story about my mate who used to take Cocodamol before nights out? He claimed it was...
My mate.
He claimed that...
Is it a wee listener?
Helped with his hangovers the day after.
Yeah, because he's got kidney failure.
I did partake a couple of times in it. I'm not going to lie. Sorry, Mum. But it was... it just basically
Sunday Mail was going to do a front cover about you.
I did it a couple of times, and it was ultimate. Like, you'd had about 5 drinks and it was blackout. Like, no idea.
How's the hangover?
Fine. You feel great the next day. Absolutely fantastic. You couldn't remember anything that happened past about 9:30. So.
I remember my mate Ross was going to use Cal Paul as a mixer one time, and he saw that if you mix it with alcohol, it can cause like liver failure or something like that. So instead, he came back with vodka quenchy cups. Remember when you went on one of those? Yeah, because they're in a bowling club kind of thing.
Capri Suns are amazing.
That's a good mixer.
Not now though, because Jamie Oliver's ruined
everyone's
life.
Ruined fucking everything.
And he's taking all the sugar out of everything. So
and now his restaurants are closed.
Yeah, so swings and roundabouts.
Yeah, who won, Jamie?
Yeah, Celtic 3, Ross County 0. Callum McGregor from the penalty spot, his first competitive penalty that he's ever scored.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's a good start.
I think actually the first one he's taken. So
fair play to him.
Yeah, so he was on penalty dues and he managed to score. Alton Edouard came off the bench, and I think it was the 61st minute, and then by the time we got to the 68th minute, he scored twice. So
it's one of those things. I was happy to see Griffiths is starting, but then if he's getting hooked and not scoring, you're like because
he did score in his previous three
matches.
Yeah, though,
but so. We're just thinking for the Israel game.
Yeah, I know. I think he'll not be far away, I think, for the Israel game. I would be surprised if he wasn't in the squad. I'd be a bit surprised if he wasn't.
No appearance from Klamala off the bench either. And they've just signed Soro today. He got his work permit and has arrived. So Kouassi's away. Remember Kouassi?
Yep, he's away on loan somewhere.
Yeah, to Genk or Ghent or something like that.
Yeah. So so let's look at the table anyway. So Celtic stretch their lead at the top to 5 points after Rangers slip up at Tynecastle. So Celtic on 58, Rangers on 53, Motherwell 41, Aberdeen on 37, Livingston on 31, then Hibs on 29. Then the bottom six, you've got Kilmarnock on 23, so a bit of a gap down there. Then St Johnstone on 23, Ross County 22, St Mirren in 10th place on 20, and then Hamilton in the relegation playoff spot on 18. But Hearts are now closing the gap after that win against Rangers yesterday, 2-1 it finished at Tynecastle. Now let's go down into the Championship.
Nah, let's move on.
And let's start chronologically on Friday night, because it was Dunfermline Athletic 2 Dundee 0. The first 20-25 minutes of this match was one of the worst games of football I've ever seen. Two teams who looked absolutely pish, and then we scored quite a good goal through
Ryan
Down.
Have you not seen Thistle for this season?
Yes, I have, yes. But I just mean, like, it was just a nothing
yeah,
happened.
Just turgid.
Nothing happened. And then Ryan Dow scored a really good header. Shocking defending from Dundee, though. And then Kevin Nisbet scores an absolute peach.
Yeah.
Down the left-hand side, cuts in, great touch with his left foot, and then curls it in with his right foot. And yes, looking very good, Kevin Nisbet. 22 goals in all competitions this season.
You said you met someone recently that thinks he'll be better than Shankland.
Yes.
Have a better career.
Yes, I don't know about that, but I do think that he is going to play at a very good level, because he's only 22, 23, he scores lots of goals, which is handy.
Consistently, and over two teams as well, isn't
it? Yep, and I think he'll probably leave in the summer. He's not going to leave in this transfer window.
You've signed a new striker today?
Yep, Jonathan Afolabi. Has signed from Celtic on loan until the end of the season. He's an Irish under 21 internationalist, and he was at Southampton last season and left Southampton to get more first team time. signed a 3-year contract at Celtic.
First team.
First team time.
Yeah.
and he signed a 3-year deal at Celtic, so they obviously rate him pretty highly, but not highly enough because they're learning about us. Yeah. So he's you know, a big guy, hopefully offers something a wee bit different up front, and I think there might be a couple of more additions as well at Dunfermline, which is good.
Do you know about them?
I don't know about them, but I'm hoping there will be a couple of additions.
We signed a couple today, and
yeah,
I hate football.
Well, let's go there. That no, brings us on nicely to what did it finish? Oh yeah, Arbroath 2, Partick Thistle 1. So Michael McKenna and Craig Whiteton, who is now
100 grand player playing at Arbroath.
Yes. To be fair, he did have a really bad injury, did he not? I think he did his knee, and yeah, I don't think he's come back the same player.
He wasn't great before then either, though.
Yeah. Well, there you go. There was somebody, I can't remember who it was. Somebody said that I was talking to last week that the Craig Whiteton, as a youngster, was the best player they'd seen at his age. He was very, very, really? Very highly rated. Hence why Hearts paid all that money for him.
But he was at Dundee. He wasn't exactly setting the heather alight.
Yeah, but he was. He's still young, is he not?
Yeah, he was like 20 when he signed him, I think.
Yeah, something like that. But, you know, so managed to score against your lot on Saturday anyway.
I chucked a fiver in Thistle at 40-1 at half time.
And Brian Graham scored in the 95th minute.
If you don't understand that, I lost a fiver on Saturday. It's because of the wind.
So, who you signed then? You've signed Brownlee from Queen of the South, yeah, O'Connor from Celtic.
Yeah, on loan. Zach Rudden, who pulled out in the warm up. Yeah. Brian Graham, Darian McKinnon. We've signed what's he called, Blair Lyons, day from
but he's going back on loan to Montrose. And out go Craig Slater,
yeah, released today, an odd one.
Kenny Miller obviously away.
I think he's going to Wraith.
Kenny Miller,
yeah,
yeah, he was in the stand,
yeah, stuff on social media today about how he's going there. We've got rid of Ben Hall, who's away to Falkirk, scored twice in his debut, centre half.
I think the problem is defensively. Like, I think Thistle look honking.
Tam O'Weir signed a new contract today.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was. Yeah. And then, yeah, Brownlee and Tam O'Weir hopefully will come in. Scott Fox is questionable.
Yeah.
I need to watch what I say because I'm going out with the team on Saturday. So.
Oh, yeah, so you are. You've got your bonding session.
Yeah, so.
I said bonding. Yeah. Just to clarify.
The last time Scott Fox told me to fuck off when I was on stage because I said all the jokes will go over his head just like any corner he faces.
So. And that is Arbroath's what? Second win against
Yeah, we
Thistle?
Can't beat them. Arbroath and Alloa, the part-time teams, I think we've got like 2 or 3 points off them. We've not beat them.
It's quite funny.
It's quite funny, but it's also well bad because we're bottom of the league.
Yeah, we'll get to the table in a minute. Don't worry, we'll be spending quite a lot of time on that. Air United won.
I feel like I want to slag Gary Caldwell, but I can't.
Yeah, you can't. You can't even blame him. Can't even blame him. Air United won. Inverness 0. It was Stephen Kelly with the own goal. So that was a big win for Air because they've been a wee bit up and down since Mark Kerr came in.
You say that. They're doing all right. They beat Ross County in the Cup last week.
Yeah, but I think, you know, they weren't on a great run of form before they beat us at East End, for example. So we managed to give them a wee help up there. So closes the gap on Inverness to just a point in the second place race. Dundee United are still stretching the lead at the top, even though they're not winning. So yeah. It was a very, very, very late goal from Lawrence Shankland after Calvin Orsi had given Morton the lead a little bit earlier on. So it did finish 1-1 at Tannadice, but that point stretches the lead to 18 points, I should say.
Yeah,
18 points.
They also had Lorraine Kelly doing like a lap of honour. Did you see this?
Oh, did she?
Yeah, it was really weird.
Topless.
Yeah,
topless.
How did you know that?
Because I just assumed that that's what would happen.
Yeah, give that.
Lorraine Kelly, we are doos out. So, that was Queen of the South 2, Alloa 3. Big win for Alloa because it lifts them off the bottom of the table. Kevin O'Hara gave them the lead after just 8 minutes. Then it was 2-0 after just 14. Robert Thompson doubling their lead before Queen of the South came roaring back. Jack Hamilton and Stephen Dobie with 2 goals in just 6 minutes to make it 2-2. But Kevin O'Hara with a late winner for Alloa, and as I say, that means they are off the bottom of the table, which means Partick Thistle are down at the bottom of the table.
Supposedly Brownlee, who we signed,
had a shocker.
Yeah,
had
they
an
said
absolute shocker.
It looked like he wasn't trying at all.
Yeah, so
it was pre-contract already, so
yeah, So they've just managed to get over the line.
Another player we've paid money for that we released 3 years ago. Yay, football!
Championship table looks like this. Dundee United, 18 points clear
at
the top.
Instead.
Inverness, 18 points behind on 35 points, but they do have a game in hand. Ayr United close the gap. They're on 34 now. Dundee holding on to that last playoff spot on 29 points. Dunfermline closing the gap on them, though. As are Arbroath, just a point behind now. Morton on 26 points. Decent run of form for them. Queen the South in 8th place on 25. They're on a bit of free fall at this moment in time. Alloa up to 9th on 24 points, which, as I've said previously, Partick Thistle are bottom of the table on just 22 points so far. Are you going to get relegated by that?
Nah, we have 3 more points than we did last season at this point.
Really?
Yeah.
But I think everyone else in the league is
slightly better. Yeah, Falkirk aren't there.
Well, it's not that. I think that's it. There's nobody marooned at the bottom.
No, but I'm getting emotional about it.
Yeah,
because you can take points off anyone.
Yeah, exactly.
Like we play Inverness, who are second league. We play them on Friday. We've beat them twice already this season. Mm-hmm. So that's the tailor game.
I also think that we just lost 5 games in a row, and we're still only a point off the promotion playoffs, which is insane.
Yeah.
And we're quite a streaky team, so hopefully we can go on a run of 2-3 games. And
who have you got this weekend?
We have Queen of the South away this weekend, so it's a fixture we should be looking to win, basically. And that can propel us away from the bottom, because I don't really care about the playoffs at the top, to be perfectly honest. I just don't want us getting dragged in. And I think another sort of 3 or 4 wins, we should be fine. If we're getting relegated with 40 points, we're deeply, deeply unlucky, I think. So that's how the table looks. So just to repeat, that is part of this bottom of the table after the loss at the weekend. So let's drop down into League One, and lowly Falkirk, 6-0 winners against Forfar. What were Forfar doing the last 7 minutes of this game? No. Because this is very strange. So George Stanger,
I'd go Stanger.
Own goal for Forfar, just before half time. So not an ideal time to lose a goal. It meant that Falkirk went and 1-0 up at the break. Then Ben Hall, Aidan Connolly, and Paul Dixon with the goals. And as I say, 4 goals in the last 7 minutes. So an absolute collapse from Forfar meant it finished 6-0 to lowly Falkirk. Elsewhere, it was a thriller at Starks Park in front of Kenny Miller's eyeballs. 4-3 it finished to Raith Rovers.
What a weird expression.
Ross Matthews gave Raith Rovers the lead after just 8 minutes. Kieran Bowie then made it 2, and then Kieran Bowie then made it 3. But back in Montrose, Craig Johnston and Mohamed Niang brought it back to 3-2.
On loan from Thistle.
Dylan Tate then scored again for Raith Rovers to make it 4-2. And then Aidan Quinn with, by the way, still 15 minutes to go, made it 4-3 for Montrose. So it was squeaky bum time for John McGlynn's men at the end. But they held on, and that means they retain their lead at the top of the table. It looks like it's going to be a very tasty title race in League One. Promotion chasing, Peterhead 1, Dumbarton now. Ben Armour with the only goal. Derek Lyle had missed a penalty for Peterhead as well. Obviously, they're getting used to life after Rory McAllister. I know he's only scored 4 goals this season, but he's been kicking around.
Yeah, he's been
ages.
A stalwart, hasn't he?
He certainly has. Clyde won 2-1 against East Fife. It was Tom Lang who scored what turned out to be the winning goal for Clyde. He's on loan from Dunfermline, of course. And Aaron Dunsmore had given East Fife the lead. And that was it. That's all that happened in that match.
Who scored the equaliser?
For Clyde?
Yeah.
I don't have that information to hand. Airdrie 0, Stranraer 0, not much happening there. Poor result for Airdrie, because they are, they're well in this title race.
Yeah, they've
still
dropped off recently. Their form isn't great.
They're still better than Stranraer's form.
Oh, yes.
So let's look at the table. Raith Rovers top on 42 points, just a point ahead of lowly Falkirk. Then Airdrie, as we say, slipping back on 38 points, but still a wee gap down to East Fife on 33. Montrose in 32. In 5th place, Dumbarton, 28 points. In 6th, at Clyde, 25. 5 points, same as Peterhead now in 7th and 8th, then Forfar in the relegation playoff spot in 9th on 19 points, and then Stranraer still bottom, looking pretty desperate for there now.
They with are a game in hand.
With a game in hand, though, they are 12 points behind safety, or from safety, I should
with
say.
With a game in hand, though.
With a game in hand, and they're 6 points behind Forfar now with a game in hand. Let's drop down into League Two. Finally, Cove Rangers continuing their winning ways. Mm-hmm. Mitch Meganson scoring again, Jamie Masson scoring again, and a 2-0 win against Annan, and the boys, Kofi, not very happy with that one. Cowden Beath, a thrilling match at Central Park. 3-2 it finished against Brechin City. It was Jordan Allen who gave Cowden Beath the lead after 6 minutes. Archie Thomas then made it 2-0 for the Blue Brazil on 27 minutes, but back came Brechin City. Paul Allen on loan from Dunfermline, and Dougie Hill with 2 goals in 1 minute.
Yeah.
So it was 2-2 very quickly. Craig Barr then scored the winner for Cowden Beath with 15 minutes to go. So a bit of a spear there for Brechin City.
Do you know what just dawned on me there?
What's that?
So Kofi and the boys were up at Cove.
Mm-hmm.
So all the way up to there.
Kofi and the boys.
Yeah, it's Kofi and the boys.
Yeah.
How do you think they travel? Do you think it's a minibus, or do you think it's a coach? Yeah.
Well, it depends what Kofi's left them in his will.
Because if it is a minibus,
yeah,
who's sitting next to Nadi?
Oh, Nabdi. He's in the front of
the bus.
In the front. When there's like two or three seats in the bus, that's where Nadi sits. He sits at the front.
His right leg there, his left leg there, and his boss in the middle.
Exactly. So, that's a bit of a trek, actually. Elsewhere, Queen's Park 2, Albion Rovers 2. So it was 2-0 to Albion Rovers. Declan Byrne and Ozzy C gave Albion Rovers a 2-0. Ozzy C. I don't know why I said it like that. Ozzy C. So it was 2-0 to Kevin Harper's men. And then back in Queen's Park, David Gault and our favourite Salim Kudar Issa from the penalty spot after 64 minutes. But Declan Byrne missed a penalty in the 86th minute.
It's a great save.
Which would have given Albion Rovers all 3 points.
The BBC website has randomly put up two saves from that game.
Okay.
And the first one is an amazing save, and the penalty is a decent save. But it was really weird. It was like featured content under Man U 6, whoever, and it was just them two.
It's very strange. Aaron Lynas had been sent off for a second booking for Albion Rovers just a minute before that penalty was missed. Steny are struggling big time. They weren't struggling after 12 minutes though, because David Hopker gave them the lead. But Edinburgh City came back. Danny Handling and Scott Shepherd with the winning goals. Andy Munro was also sent off for Steny, so not looking good for them. Luckily Brechin are still in the league.
Remember Blair Henderson?
Yeah, I do remember Blair Henderson.
Remember Mike McGuigan?
Yeah. What to these people?
Well, both Henderson wasn't playing on Saturday, but McGuigan was. They were 30 goals or whatever.
Yeah, scoring loads of goals. It's not been as prolific for Blair this season, has it?
I spoke to someone who said he's just lazy as fuck.
All right, okay. Yeah. Former Dunfermline player. Yeah. Stirling Albion 1, Elgin City 2. So it was Shane Sutherland who gave Elgin City the lead. A stalwart Shane Sutherland.
Pre-contract with Inverness.
And signed a pre-contract with Inverness. So a stalwart no longer. Kane Hester then put them 2-0 up before John McGregor pulled one back for Stirling Albion, but it was too little too late, and it finished 2-1 to Elgin City. So back up the road to Boro Briggs with all the points. Right, let's go to the table. League 2 looks like this. Cove Rangers 5 points in front of Edinburgh City now. They're on 52, Edinburgh City on 47. Then you've got a wee gap down. We've got a big gap actually down to Cowden Beath on 35 points, but they're comfortably in the playoffs and they've got a game in hand as well. Elgin City still in the playoffs despite that win at the weekend, which doesn't really make sense, but I'll carry on. 28 points they've got in fourth place. Annan, Kofi and the boys on 27 points, so just a point outside. Then Stirling Albion on 26, same as Queen's Park, so very tight it looks like for that final playoff spot. Albion Rovers on 20 points, Steny on 20, and then you've got Brechin bottom the league. They're 5 points adrift at this moment in time, but they do have a game in hand, but they are still propping up the entirety of Scottish football.
Wipe your cock on the curtain.
So yeah, that
it's
is
funny, we've actually got structure to this week's one, because the last two we've done, Scottish Cup, we have no time for the Scottish Cup.
No time for it.
And the week before was the winter break, but also all the call-offs of the weather, so it was like six games.
It was six games, so we had to chat about a lot of things that weren't football. But yeah, actually we had football to talk about this week, and an interview with the Scotland man, Justine Clark, which was quite good.
It's like versatile, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Should get a radio show, even if that guy from our broth doesn't want us to.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
would you ever want to have a radio show?
That would be quite good. I'd quite like to have a radio show.
Have you ever done radio before?
I've done quite a bit of radio before.
Have you?
Yeah, I've.
What kind of stuff do you do?
Nothing you'd be interested in.
How often do you play Ed Sheeran?
Once an hour, usually.
That's too much.
That's standard. That's absolutely standard. It used to be worse. At Capital, the playlist was so tight. Like, this is, we don't get a say in.
Yeah, it's all pre. That surprised me actually the first time I found that out.
But everyone always says, why do you play Ariana Grande so much? I'm like, do you think I'm off my fucking rocker?
I remember I was on, this would be maybe 2013, I was on hold. I was doing a bit over the radio. Yeah. It was. Do you remember? I was on air as Jenny's Christmas present. So on Christmas Day, and it was weird. And the hold music was Rihanna, and I was like, "Come on, guys!"
It would have just been whatever was playing on the radio at the time.
Oh, was it?
Yeah,
that's how fucking it was. Rihanna.
So yeah, that's number one question. Like, why do you play that so much? And I'm like, well, I don't really get a choice in it. So that's how
you get a choice on here, though, which is good.
I do get a choice in it. We've not actually played any songs.
No, I mean, because we don't have the rights to them, really.
No, we don't, don't tell anyone that.
I saw Warner challenge one of our things recently, didn't they?
Yeah. I think they did, yeah.
Well, it'll happen.
Yeah.
Bad Boys, innit?
Bad Boys for Life.
When was the last time you went to the cinema?
Last time I was at the cinema, I went to see The Joker.
Oh, I didn't see it. Was it good?
Grim. Absolutely grim.
He does stand up.
But very good. But very good. Not very good at stand up, no. But a very good film. When was the last time you were at the cinema?
Ages ago. I think it might have been.
What'd you get in terms of.
Did
you
Rocket
get like
Man.
Ice, did you get like an ice blast?
No, I've never had an ice blast.
You've never had an ice blast?
No, because it sounds like something.
I'm just going to put your mic down now.
Yeah, no. But also, an ice blast sounds like a sexual move in Peterhead. Like, it's not for me.
An ice blast. An ice blast and a finger blast. That's a trip to the cinema, is it not? That's what happens.
Yeah, that's why you sit at the back. Yeah.
Have you never had an ice blast?
It's just not for me. There's a gig in Coventry that's a cinema gig, and quite a lot of times you'll see people like, so you gig in a cinema.
Right.
And there's people drinking and all that kind of stuff, and every so often it'll just be someone just drinking an ice blast. Like,
ice blasts are amazing, mate. Do you not like slush puppies or that?
Yeah, I'd like a wee vodka slush or whatever.
But when you were younger, did you not have slush puppies all the time? I love slush
not
puppies.
Not all the time.
No, but during the summer.
Not all the time.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. I'd have Limeade.
See, that I think maybe this is where this was it was a sort of gateway into the ice lolly addiction that I've had.
Yeah,
for...
see, you are massively addicted.
Yeah, exactly. I was.
So what would you get? You get an ice blast, and then what else are you getting? What other scran?
I'll take my own scran with me. I'm a fucking minute.
Do you get popcorn?
Nah, I'm not a big fan. I prefer salted popcorn as well.
I'll get a mix. I don't mind.
Yeah, like I prefer the salty stuff.
You put your willy in it?
I don't put my willy in it. No. I once got told a story about a former professional football player who I genuinely cannot name.
Put the mics down.
For legal reasons.
Put the mics down.
You won't know who he is.
Put the mics down though.
You won't know who he is.
I
can't even tell the story.
What is it? So do they put their dick through the popcorn?
No.
Was it worse?
It was something similar. And it was a pizza box.
That's hot though.
Yeah. No, but there wasn't a pizza in it.
Oh, okay.
It
wasn't. A wee hot dog pizza?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I can't.
What was the context? Where was it?
In a taxi rank in Dunfermline.
That's bleak.
Yeah.
That is bleak.
That is very bleak. He did get arrested for it, I think.
And did he play for Livingston afterwards? Remember, no. They just kept on taking players like that for a bit.
No, he sort of skilled about the sort of lower leagues. He didn't play in the championship or premiership or anything.
So what kind of sweets are you taking in with yourself? Are you going like squashes or what are you going?
I like a fruit
pastel.
Or a wine gum.
You beast. Old bastard.
Werther's original.
I got Picky Mix at the cinema last time I went. Fiver.
So, somebody's doing well.
Yeah, I know.
Somebody's doing very well.
I was like, if I go see a comedy, technically that's tax deductible. So
Haribo I like.
Yeah, I like to be Haribo. I like to be Straubs.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh God, you and I would just be not compatible for going on a cinema date.
Which I'm
first
glad.
Of all, because you wouldn't appreciate the ice blast or the finger blast.
And thirdly, I'd scald my dick in a pizza box. Yeah. It's not happening.
Exactly. I'd never put my hand in your popcorn box for fear of what I found.
Why is it so salty?
Right, let's look at the fixtures for what's coming up.
What are you
this
doing
week.
This week?
We'll get to that in a minute. We'll do the fixtures first. Wednesday, we've got Celtic and Rangers both playing at Rangers at home to Ross County. So that's Ross County playing Celtic and Rangers back to back away from home. I wonder if they stayed down.
Roy's money, probably.
Roy's money. St Johnstone are hosting Celtic as well. That is the game that's on BT.
And there's also Scottish Cup games tomorrow night. Falkirk Arbroath, the replay, and Hibs Dundee United for the rights to play BSC.
Are any of these games on the telly?
I don't know about tomorrow. BT might have some, I don't know.
No, BT don't have rights to the Cup. It's Premier.
Oh, is it?
And
have you seen what games Premier have chosen for?
They're always going to pick the Celtic and Rangers game.
Yes, that's exactly what they have done.
They have to get subscribers, so I can sort of understand why they're doing that. And I think there's three games in the BBC, one on the Friday, one on the Saturday, one on the Sunday.
Yeah,
I think.
I don't have it. I'll find it, but I don't have
don't
it.
Have the information.
Actually, wait, just wait till the games come up.
Yeah. But they're still 2 weeks away. So,
yeah. let's just wait till then.
Saturday, we've got Hibs versus St Mirren at Easter Road, Kilmarnock against Ross County. Kilmarnock have lost 7 games on the bounce.
Yes.
The league didn't realise that. So, big game for them on Saturday. Livy are at home to Motherwell. That looks like it's going to be a cracker. Rangers versus Aberdeen and St Johnstone against Hearts. And then on Sunday, the early kickoff from the Fountain of Youth Stadium is Hamilton Academical versus Celtic. And that is also live on BT Sport.
We're playing Ayr, which yep. I thought we were. The BBC Sport website told me earlier we were playing Inverness, so yeah. I just believed that.
No, it is Ayr.
I know, because I texted Chris Doolan about it to see if he was like going to get me free tickets. But and then it turns out I can't go. I'm gigging in Glen Eagles.
That's quite cool. That is quite cool.
They've invited me for
You've been
to
Glen Eagles before?
No.
Oh, it's cool.
Is it?
It's really cool.
Should I go for the meal first?
100%. The food's amazing. It was Andrew Fairley who used to do it, but he died, so he's not doing it anymore.
Yeah,
but he's like Michelin star, so yeah.
Say it again?
Michelin.
Yeah, that's not how you say it.
It is.
Michelin.
No, it's Michelin.
Is it Michelin?
I think it's Michelin star.
I'm saying Michelin.
Aye, but you're common.
I think between us there's a poverty line, and we know which one we stand on.
Part of this lad playing on Friday night at the Michelin star Energy Check Stadium for Hill against Ayr United.
We do vegan sausage rolls now.
Oh, of course you fucking do. On Saturday, Dundee United versus Arbroath. Inverness are not playing Partick Thistle on Friday night. That would have been a bit confusing for them because they're playing Alloa on Saturday. Then it's Morton versus Dundee, and then Queen of the South versus Dunfermline, as I mentioned. In League One on Saturday is Airdrie versus Raith Rovers, big game at the top. East Fife versus Dumbarton. Forfar against Clyde. Montrose against Peterhead. And then Stranraer against Lowly Falkirk. In League Two on Saturday, there's a full card. Albion Rovers versus Cove Rangers. Annan against Steppenhouse Muir. Brechin City against Elgin City. The City Derby. Edinburgh City versus Stirling Albion. And Queen's Park against Cowdenbeath. And that sort of rounds off all the football that's happening this week. So what are you up to apart from being at Glen Eagles? I went shooting at Glen Eagles once.
Did you?
Yeah.
Like,
I was just shooting guests.
A BB gun in a tree.
Yeah, exactly. So what is it? Just a gig?
Yeah, it's a gig. They paid me today.
Oh, good.
Which never happens, ever.
It means you don't need to go.
I know. Well, yeah, but it's a moral quandary. Thursday.
As if you've ever bothered about that.
So, there's a dental worker coming out to meet our son.
Right.
He's not got teeth.
Yeah, but he does grow them.
Yeah, but he's not even 5 months yet, so...
Aye, but he'll be growing them now.
He's teething a bit, but nothing's coming through. But surely you should wait till you get teeth till you see a dentist.
You can never charge people early enough if you're a dentist.
All right. Yeah. Can you smell toast? Like, what just happened?
I don't know.
Can never charge people.
But dentists want to make money, so they want to get them, like...
A checkup's free.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh. Do you not go to a private dentist?
Well, I got the NHS, man. I paid like £4 for an x-ray recently, and that was about it.
All right, okay.
Well, what are you paying?
More than that, clearly.
So what? Where'd you go? Did you go on a Partick?
Yeah.
What are you paying? Have you got a filling or anything?
I've got like 2 fillings.
What'd you pay for them?
Well, I didn't want the...
Ah, yeah, you get the white ones,
You get the white ones, so they're a wee bit more expensive. So I can't remember what I paid. Was it £80 or something?
I think I paid 50 when I got one.
Yeah.
But then... I didn't get a jag, they just punched me.
Yeah, that's the poverty line has now become apparent.
Are you still on your diet?
Yeah, although I did have a pizza yesterday.
Yeah, I saw it looked quite nice actually.
Yeah, I had a pizza yesterday. And
were you drinking over the weekend?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was at 30th on Saturday night.
Steaming?
And I was steaming, yeah. I do like getting steaming. I don't get paid until tomorrow as well, so my bank balance
is looking...
See, that
doesn't ever happen when you're self-employed.
Yeah, I am self-employed, so technically.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So
they can sack you whenever they want.
Yeah, they can. So that's it. That's
and
a
then, yeah. So I'm in Prestwick on Thursday.
No, you're in Prestwick. It's decent, by the way.
I'm just gigging and come back. Friday, Glen Eagles. Saturday and Sunday, like Blackburn and Manchester down that way.
Christ.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be grim. There'll be party time in Blackburn after Brexit on Friday.
Oh fuck! Yeah, I never thought of that. I'm doing a theatre, so it should be all right. I never thought of that actually.
Yeah.
At least I'll just take the commemorative 50p coins. What are you doing this? Have you had your photos done yet?
No, my photos done. And just working away, just on Clyde One home run. So drive time. Yep. So
home run.
That's what they call it here. It's drive time, but they call it home run.
Doesn't do you have to wear like baseball outfits or anything?
No, no.
Do you ever shout safe?
No.
You should.
Yeah.
That's what you should shout when you come as well.
That's yeah. So that's it for now. Thank you very much for joining us on Soccer FM. There's more on our Twitter at Soccer FM, on Facebook, Instagram, and they're on forum at pinebrom.com. But for now, it's goodbye from me, Stephen Mill, and you, Ray Bradshaw.
Sorry about that comment.
This has been Soccer FM. Good luck to all your teams apart from Volkirk across the week, and we'll catch you next time for some more Soccer FM. Yeah.